we're back on Downtown on this last day of spring. Rich Kimball here, and on the telephone line from the Boston Globe, Chad Finn joins us. Hello there, Chad.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Sorry to hear your plane hurt today.
A little bit under the weather, but otherwise a beautiful day, so I can't complain too much.
All right. Yeah, it is a beautiful day. It started a little cold. Was it chilly down in southern Maine this morning?
It was. Yeah, it was freezing, actually, for a little while. Had to wear the pullover, which you're not supposed to be wearing in June, but it's that mean weather, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to be ready for anything. Well, what a weekend it was in Boston sports. And I'm not, I don't watch a lot of golf. I'll tune in for the majors, but what a compelling story that was, and what a great last round of the U.S. Open.
Yeah, a lot of fun, and Matt Fitzpatrick pretty good out of the bunker there on 18 to win it. We had the really good story in the Globe. We did a lot of coverage, as you might expect, and one of the fun stories was that his brother actually left when he was, I think he was five back, and his brother hopped a plane to fly back to England and ended up doing a U-turn and coming back when he looked up and his brother was tied for the lead. So pretty good story. Well, you know, you can always find good human interest stories there in golf tournaments like that, especially when somebody unexpected wins. But yeah, by all accounts, it was a fantastic event. I was supposed to cover it, but I got switched on to the Celtics, and with the expectation that might be a game seven. As it turned out, there wasn't, but it would have been fun to be over there because it seemed like a great time.
He had a great local angle too, with Keegan Bradley playing very well.
Yeah, local boy, right? He was tweeting earlier that Boston needs more tournaments, and I can understand why he would feel that way. He was the fan favorite, and he's a legitimate Boston sports fan. Some of these guys that play other sports and they say, oh yeah, I love the Red Sox or whatever, it's it makes you suspicious sometime that they actually mean it. But Keegan Bradley's a real Boston Celtics nut and Red Sox nut, and certainly understood the meaning of playing at the Country Club in Brookline and having the Boston crowd behind him as a local favorite. Could tell it meant a lot to him, and really good bond there between him and the fans.
Let's talk about those Boston Celtics. I think you'd have to be, I don't know, really cranky, maybe Mike Felger-esque, to think that this was anything other than a successful season for a team that a lot of folks weren't sure would even make the playoffs back in December, to take Golden State to the sixth game of the finals.
Yeah, you got to take that step back eventually and just appreciate it for what it was, which is a great run and all the fun things that happened along the way, whether it was the big picture of turning it around in January and becoming a legitimate championship contender, or the things that happened along the way in the playoffs, Tatum scoring 46 in Game 6 in Milwaukee and then winning Game 7 there, beating Miami in Game 7, sweeping the Nets, the Tatum layup to win Game 1 of the playoffs that kind of set this thing on the course. There were so many great moments, but you lose sight of those, understandably, when you're disappointed at the final outcome. They had a real shot to win the series against the Warriors. You can make the argument that the Warriors are the better team, and that they're certainly the ones having the parade today backs that up. But there's a lot of what-ifs lingering with this series, and it's I can understand with some people why it might be tough for them to appreciate all the good things that happened along the way, because it feels like a little bit of an opportunity got away from them there in the finals.
Were there some weaknesses in the roster exposed in this series?
Not a lot of depth, understandably. I mean, I think they're, you can't complain about injuries, but I think they're NBA champions if Rob Williams doesn't get hurt. Their defense just wasn't quite what it was when he was 100% healthy before he got hurt in that Minnesota game. And boy, he fought it out had some pretty terrific moments even when he's playing with his injury. But him at full health, this is a team even at a higher level. I mean, it was funny, some of his teammates kind of seemed to forget sometimes that he was playing injured and still kept throwing him lob passes that he couldn't finish at the rim. But they do need more depth. They could use another wing. They could Aaron Nesmith developing would be really helpful. You look at the Warriors, you know, they could give Curry 10, 12 minutes off a night because they could bring in Jordan Poole to keep the offense going. The Celtics really didn't have any way of giving Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum a breather. So maybe a little bit of depth at those positions and bolstering the bench. But all in all, it's a pretty darn good roster through the first eight anyway.
And clearly they've got something special in Ime Udoka.
He's the best. Yeah, he's great. It's so funny to hear him interact with his team because he's so kind of mild-mannered, serious but mild-mannered when we see him in the press conferences and everything. But he pulls no punches with those guys. And the ESPN mics caught it a couple of times. You know, you guys are playing like expletives and all these other things that he says to them. Very straightforward, very clear about the point he's trying to get across. But they also respect him. And, you know, some of these guys had a say in him being the choice. Brad did talk to Jaylen, Jason Marcus Smart about who the new coach should be. And they all advocated for him, having played for him when he was an assistant with the, 2019 USA team that they were on. So not like he was entirely unknown. But, you know, I watched the job that he did with this team this year, and kind of buzzed me in a weird way that he didn't get an opportunity before this, because he was a runner-up for three different jobs. And clearly he was worthy of a head coaching job one before he got one. That's Red Sox, Celtics benefit that he was still available when they were looking for a new coach.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Well, the Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals over the weekend, and despite the awful start to the season, here they are, thank you extra wild card, right in the playoff mix.
Where did the Cleveland Guardians come from? I didn't even realize they were half game up on the Red Sox. So I was looking at the standings this morning. I don't know if I could name 5 guys in their lineup, but
I'm not sure Tito could.
Yeah, this is not the Manny Ramirez, Albert Bell Indians, that's for sure. But yeah, Sox seem to have figured out a lot of things. Probably the biggest surprise is how good their starting pitching has been. You know, Nick Pivetta has just been phenomenal over what his last 9 or 10 starts. Michael Walker, you know, though he's dealt with some injuries here, was very good. Rich Hill's been about what you expected. And what I thought was the biggest question mark on the team has ended up being a strength so far. And, you know, Chris Sale could come back pretty soon and bolster things. Still have some stuff to work out in the bullpen. I think Tanner Houck is going to take to the closer role, at least against right-handed hitters. But we'll see how that all shakes out. I feel like they still need another addition or two there of somebody who's trustworthy and established, rather than trying to find another unknown guy who comes in and thrives. So, which is kind of been a Heimblum specialty. So I think they're legitimately good. Tougher part of the schedule coming up here pretty soon. We're going to really find out, but I think this is a team that's probably going to end up in the wild card, and then we'll see what happens from there.
And Jackie Bradley Jr., I had my doubts, but he's hitting just well enough. And when he's at Fenway, he's like a completely different guy.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, he's over 300 at Fenway. Nobody's over 300 these days. You look at Bogart, who has 339 batting average, I think, the last time I looked. That's like 400 10 years ago. I mean, everybody's hitting 220 these days. So, yeah, it's great great to see Bradley produce. Obviously, still a very good defensive outfielder. You know, Bloom's made a couple of trades where fans have not looked at the bigger picture of the trade. One of them was sending Hunter Renfro to the Brewers for Bradley, which people thought that was the point of the trade, and it really wasn't. It was to get David Hamilton, who's with Sea Dogs, and Alex Benilis is down in A-ball as prospect. You know, he did that with the Benintendi deal. It wasn't for Franchi Cordero. It was for the pitching prospects, that the prospects they got back, Josh Winkowski being number one on that list. And I was starting to see the fruits of some of those trades, but I thought Bradley was going to end up being the, you know, fourth or fifth outfielder, kind of carrying a roster spot, defensive replacement type, and he's actually been better than that, which is a pleasant surprise. I've always liked Jackie Bradley. I think he's the best center fielder they've ever had. Inconsistent hitter, to be sure, but somebody generally you want on your ball club. So good to see him producing.
And even Franchi Cordero, I mean, he's not going to win a batting title anytime soon, but a very different hitter, much more patience and more confidence than we saw last year.
Yeah, he's prone to streaks. I mean, I still see the William O'Pena thing with him where he'll hit with 500 feet and then go for 12. But defense isn't really a specialty. But he's a wildly popular guy in that clubhouse. Teammates really like him. They're really pulling for him. And he does seem like somebody who could get hot for like a 10-day stretch and really contribute in that regard. So good to see him getting an opportunity. But I don't know if he's a long-term answer anywhere.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Chad, I always appreciate you checking in with us. I hope you're back at 100% soon. We'll check in with you before too long.
No, I haven't been 100% since the 80s. So.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Yes, sir. See you, Rich.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Chad Finn with us here on Downtown.